Welcome back, everyone. Luke chapter 2 on our journey through the Word, the story of the day that peace came to earth. That peace arrived as a little baby boy, and for anyone who has ever longed for peace in the world or peace in your heart, this story is for you. It is, of course, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, and it begins at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And so, every person in the vast Roman Empire traveled back to their hometowns to be registered and counted. Verse 4 introduces Joseph, living in Nazareth, but now traveling south to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Don't miss that. Chapter 1 introduced us to King Herod, chapter 2 to Caesar Augustus. But whatever happened to the line of King David? Verse 5. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. Betrothed and pregnant will get you a lot of sideways glances and muttered judgments, but underneath this very human story, there is a great undercurrent of God's mighty hand working everything together. Many details of this story were written on scrolls centuries before it all happened. Bethlehem, the line of David, and a virgin with child, enduring an arduous journey. Verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And just as simple as that, Almighty God entered the world that he created, a little baby boy who was laid down to sleep in a feeding trough. Verse 8 introduces a group of shepherds out under the starry skies above Israel's countryside, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Bethlehem has pastureland for sheep to this day, and I can tell you, the hilly terrain provides some great viewpoints for stargazing. Now, shepherds in that day were among the lowly of society. Yet God has a way of lifting up the lowly and honoring the humble. So in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." That is awesome. Never forget that the story of Jesus is good news of great joy. And may it always be great joy to your heart and mine. In the town of David, a Savior has been born. Jesus was born to save. I am often perplexed by books and articles that attempt to explain how Jesus became Savior as his disciples exaggerated his story over time. But that's not the historical record. Here, Luke records the story, prophesied for centuries beforehand, and now proclaimed by an angel on high, of a baby who is Messiah and Lord. And Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. Verse 13. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace on earth. It's a popular phrase around Christmas time, and for good reason. It's right here in the Christmas story. But sometimes those three amazing words get separated from the story of Jesus' birth. I remember riding in Small World at Disneyland around Christmas one year, and it was all lit up and beautiful. At the end of the ride, "Peace on Earth" was posted beautifully on a banner, and again in languages from all around the world. A lovely sentiment, but of course there was nothing about the birth of a Savior. Now, I'm not offended that they don't include Jesus in their Christmas decor. It is our job to proclaim the good news of great joy, not Disney's. But it is interesting. The whole world loves this phrase, "peace on earth." We long for it, but how do we find it? And why do the angels proclaim it here? How does the birth of Messiah bring peace? The world can wish us peace, and all that well-wishing may be very well-intended. But where do we find it? Here, a host of angels proclaim it. Well, I don't know what they thought, but I can tell you what they said. Let's go to Bethlehem and see. They do just that, and then they're ready to go tell it on the mountain to anyone they can find that Jesus Christ is born. Verse 21 jumps forward 1 week. The story mellows out a bit, but pay attention to the details. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. So he was circumcised on day eight. Then Mary and Joseph waited out the time of purification and presented him to the Lord, and finally made a sacrifice offering for him in verse 24. It's all rather mundane, really, the usual Jewish traditions for a baby. But notice a phrase repeated three times. They did all of it in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. That's essential because Jesus came to fulfill the law. And even as a baby, before he had any choice in the matter, he completed all that was required of him by God's law. Not one thing is missed, so that he could be a complete savior for us. And notice that the sacrifice offered at verse 24 was the sacrifice for a poor family, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Does it ever make you wonder that our Lord chose to be born into a poor family? And while this poor young family is at the temple, they encounter an old man named Simeon, who gives a prophecy about Jesus, and he reminds them that peace on earth doesn't come without a price. Verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So Simeon warns the young couple of the effect that Jesus will have on the world. It won't be easy. Jesus will be spoken against, and that conflict will reveal the true hearts of many. That will not be pretty. And a sword will pierce Mary's soul. Wow. This experience will be deeply personal for the young mom, just as reading the gospel should be for me and you. They return home, and Jesus grows up in Nazareth. In verse 40, he grows in strength and in wisdom. Again, the detail here tells me that Luke took extra time to hear Mary's story, which gives us a story from Jesus' childhood that the other Gospels miss. He's 12 years old, and his family goes to Jerusalem for the Passover. Then at verse 43, after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Now families traveled in large groups for the Passover, and it wasn't hard to misplace one child for a time. So they kept traveling for a whole day. They searched, didn't find, and went back to Jerusalem. Verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. I love this story. What was that like? His parents are less amused. But in verse 49, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Take that one to heart, because you and I can misplace Jesus as well. Even as we go about all our religious rituals, even ones that are all about Jesus, sometimes, coming back home, we just leave him behind. He's not in our talk or in the way we treat each other. So go back. Find him at his Father's house. It amazes me how many places we can go looking for God in our lives, when, of course, Jesus is always hanging out in his Father's house. Go back to church. In spite of all their many issues, Jesus can still be found among his people. Read Luke 2 today. Hear the good news and share the great joy that Jesus Christ is born. And as you read, perhaps invite the peace that came to earth on that holy night to come into your heart as well.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.